of praises. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love come down.
Excited that you've taken time out of your day to watch with us online, to worship alongside us. And that's our hope, is that as the band leads us in singing and as Ben brings a message, that you'll still find a way to worship, whether you're by yourself in your home, whether you're with your family, whether you're in your living room, on your couch, or maybe you're on the back porch or hanging out outside. We just pray that you would find a space, and if you're with people, that you'd be able to worship together. Today we are finishing up our series on the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to be focusing on the line that says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." A couple of the songs that we're singing today are some of my very favorite songs, and they both speak about deliverance, about how Jesus paid for us to deliver us, and then we're singing "No Longer Slaves." And in that song, it talks about how God split the sea, and that's a reference to when God led his people out of Egypt, and he split the sea and brought them out and to lead them eventually to the promised land. And I think when God talks about deliverance, whether it's Jesus paying for our sins or whether it's an Old Testament story, deliverance is always about leading us into God's presence. I had a professor one time who talked about sometimes the best prayer is the simplest prayer. And it's just speaking a person's name before God and just bringing that person's name into God's presence. And so today I wanted to invite you to pray with me in that way, where we're going to say aloud the names of people that you might want to pray for and just bring those names into God's presence. In just a minute, I'll start the prayer and I'm going to describe a group of people or a certain kind of person. And if somebody comes to your mind, I encourage you just to say that person's name out loud where you are and just lift that person into God's presence. I've got five or six different groups that I'm going to ask you to pray for. And then when we're done with that part, we'll say the Lord's Prayer together and close our prayer that way. So will you pray with me now as we just lift some names of people into God's presence this morning together? So first, I want to invite you to pray for people this morning who are medical professionals, people who are doctors or nurses or technicians or people who are serving that way. And now I want to ask you to pray for people who are sick and in need of healing. Then we'll also pray for people who are separated from their families, whether that's because they can't travel at this point or whether that's because they're choosing to stay apart to keep each other healthy. And now let's pray for our teachers and for school employees and administrators who are trying to figure out how to stay connected to their students. Next, just say the names of students who are discovering new ways to learn, and for students who are missing out on things that they might have been looking forward to this school year. And then lastly, together, let's pray for our government officials who are leading us, that they would make wise decisions and that they would lead us in the right direction. People who are leading locally, statewide, and even nationally. And so now as we close our prayer, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory now and forever. Amen.
And I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed. And pray, find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Thank you.
this time in our service, we're going to invite you to give an offering back to God. And if you're a person who considers The Well or First United Methodist Long Beach your home, this is your opportunity to give back. We are in a season where we are really trusting God. Some people may not be working like they were. Some of you may be spending differently than you normally would have been. But we just want to encourage you in this time, like, it's a great time to still continue to trust God with your gifts back to Him. So we want to invite you to give your offerings now. You're going to need to do that online. You can give online through the links on the on this Facebook page and on our website. And also, you can always mail in your gifts as well. And if you choose to do that, it's First United Methodist Church, P.O. Box 375 in Long Beach, 39560. So we'll pray now for our offerings. So God, we pray that the gifts that we give to you this morning, God, that you would take and multiply them. And God, I just pray that we'd give generously and with trusting hearts, knowing that you're going to take care of us no matter what comes. So God, I just pray that you would enable our church to continue to do great ministry in our community, God, and even now farther than our community, throughout our world. We're so grateful for Jesus and for the way that he gave his life for us, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. And I'm no longer child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother, chosen me. Songs of child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God.
Hey everybody, good morning, and thanks again for tuning in with us this morning. We are wrapping up our sermon series today on the Lord's Prayer. For the last several weeks, we have been looking at this prayer as a template. Jesus looked at his disciples and he taught them to pray by saying, pray like this. In fact, let's just go ahead and read that. This is Matthew chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 9. Jesus says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And do not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. And don't let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You may be familiar in praying that prayer as, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory now and forever. Amen. Today we want to talk about temptation and what that looks like. Jesus includes it in this prayer. And just kind of a refresher, as we've looked at this, we've treated it as a template or a guide, if you will. A template meaning that Jesus says, pray like this. We are free to pause throughout this prayer and spend time working through the things that we are praying for. For instance, when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done, let's take a few moments while we're praying to sit there and say, God, I want what you want. I don't want what I want. I don't want to build my kingdom. I want to build your kingdom. And so reveal to me what that looks like. When it comes to give us this day our daily bread, or give us the food we need for today, it is, God, I'm trusting you to provide everything that I need in this moment. And so we've encouraged you along the way to stop and to camp out along the way as you pray this prayer. And so today, let us not skip right over this idea of leading us not into temptation, but delivering us from evil. Now, I've read some things where some scholars would say that these are two very different petitions, that, you know, we are to pray that God would not lead us into temptation, but we also are to pray separately and sort of differently that we should be delivered from evil, that God would deliver us from the evil one. I think the two of these go together. There's other people that agree with this, and it's certainly the track that I'm taking right now. And I believe that when we pray that the Lord would deliver us from evil, it is synonymous with the prayer that he would not lead us into temptation. And so let's see what that looks like. So what exactly is temptation? I think we have a clear picture in the scripture of what temptation looks like. Jesus himself was tempted. And I don't know about you, but we bought a whole bunch of COVID snacks. Right? We stocked our pantry because we knew we were going to be in isolation. And there's this incredible temptation to just fly through those really quickly. Temptation is when we want to do something, or we're led to do something, or we desire to do something that we know deep down is really not what we ought to be doing. And it's kind of funny and silly to think about blazing through the snack food that way. But let's be honest. In our day-to-day life, there are temptations all around us. Temptations to live in opposition to the things that we've already been praying for, God's kingdom to become a reality, for his will to be done, for us to trust him for our daily bread. There's temptations to sort of take back control of the things that we're already declaring really belong to God. Dr. Timothy Tennant, who is the seminary president, or the president of Asbury Seminary, where Emily and I graduated from, he has a book. In fact, I'll show it to you. Hopefully that's on the screen. It's called 10 Words, 2 Signs, 1 Prayer. 10 words, that's the 10 commandments. 2 signs, that's the sacraments that certainly in the United Methodist Church we adhere to baptism and the Lord's Supper, and then one prayer, that's the Lord's Prayer. And I encourage you to grab this book. Actually, the publishing company Seedbed has made these available electronically for free. And so if you go to their website, we'll post a link to that maybe in the comments, but if you just Google Seedbed and the title of this book, 10 Words, 2 Signs, One Prayer, you'll notice that the Kindle version or the electronic version of this book is free right now. And so I encourage you to grab a hold of it. But inside of here, as he breaks down this piece of that prayer, the idea that or the prayer of lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, he attributes that all the way back to the beginning of time, that we are in this sort of cosmic battle between good and evil, between right and wrong. He even breaks it down. You know, the scripture would lead us, like in the Old Testament, the covenant, you know, when the people of God were living in or supposed to be living in covenant with God, it was defined in terms of obedience versus rebellion. And in other places, it's defined in different terms. Like in the Proverbs, this sort of battle between good and evil is defined as being wise or being foolish. And it's like we have this choice always to choose between right and to choose between wrong. In fact, it was Jesus who talked about, you know, the way to salvation, the way, you know, to God is, if you're going to go the right way, it's a narrow path, or I'm sorry, a straight path with a narrow door. And but the path that leads to destruction, well, that one's wide, and it's certainly an easy path to take. And so it's sort of this good versus evil, this righteousness versus unrighteousness. And so when we pray this prayer, we are asking God, we're begging God to keep us on the right path. Keep us headed toward obedience. Keep us headed toward wisdom. Keep us headed toward that straight and narrow. And so when we pray, lead us not into temptation, we're inviting God's help to step in and intervene. Because let's be honest, left to our own selves and our own devices, we will tend to gravitate toward that which is unholy, that which is rebellious, that which is easy. And so we need help. Maybe that's just me. I don't know about you. But we need God to work in our lives in this way. And not only are we inviting him to help us resist this temptation, but we need all out deliverance. Deliver us from the evil one. One of the things that Dr. Tennant points out in that book, it's really, really helpful to read, and it's super simple and short. He says in there that this cosmic battle that we refer to, we're not just at battle with some random power, but it's actually a person, and that person is Satan himself. And so when we pray this prayer in many churches, we pray it, deliver us from evil, and we sort of stop there. But we look back at scripture, which, as Jesus taught it, he said, deliver us from the evil one. And so by praying this prayer, we're partly declaring that this battle really is not ours. You know, it's not between flesh and blood, but it's far bigger than that. And so we're inviting God to do our battle for us and to deliver us from the one who would cause and bring about evil. So if our battle really is much bigger than us, then we've got to sort of take a long, hard look at this simple prayer of, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We've got to look at that in a bigger light. If this really is the battle between this cosmic battle between God and the evil one, Satan himself, if that's what we're dealing with, then perhaps we need to recognize first and foremost, we're not going to just wake up one morning, pray a simple prayer, and be granted immunity from temptation. It's something we're going to face. But we're going to pray that God would actually deliver us from the temptation, that he would deliver us from the evil one. You're going to face temptations. You have an opportunity when you face temptation to either grow or to be overtaken by sin, to either find life or to find death. And so when we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we are inviting the God of the universe to battle the work of Satan within us. Now, this has never been made more clear to us than when Jesus himself began his ministry. If you remember back, Jesus, at the very onset of his ministry, I took time to go into the wilderness for 40 days and to fast and to pray. And it was there that he was tempted by the evil one. Matthew chapter 4, we read in verse 1 and following, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread.' But Jesus told him, 'No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, 'If you are the Son of Man, the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone.' Jesus responded, 'The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God.' Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. 'I'll give it all to you,' he said, 'if you'll kneel down and worship me.' 'Get out of here, Satan,' Jesus told him, 'for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him.' Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus." I find this incredibly helpful for us as we think about this prayer to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When we see in this very moment, as Jesus begins his ministry, he's faced with temptation. And it was through the power of the word of God. He speaks scripture to Satan himself as a weapon to do battle so that he might be delivered from the evil one. And what we see is that he is indeed delivered from the evil one. So what does that look like for us? I want to wrap us up here and just kind of think about this. I want to encourage you to pray the Lord's Prayer. But I also want to encourage you, as you camp out in this spot, to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Invite God to reveal to you, first and foremost, invite God to reveal to you what are some of the potential temptations in front of you. You see, Jesus was at a place where he was hungry, and he was in a moment where he could have given in easily to temptation. For many of us, we can simply avoid places where we're going to be tempted. You and I can use common sense. We can use the work and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to lead us down paths that perhaps would not lead us directly into temptation. But even once we're faced with a choice, once we're faced with a temptation, we have an opportunity to be delivered. And we're going to trust through this prayer that God is going to deliver us from evil. But I believe that we too can put in, we can use tools from God to be able to do this battle, or to allow him to do battle through us. And we do that by spending time in the word of God. There is incredible power in the scriptures. And when we not only read them for transformation, but when we read them and memorize them, and when we write them on our hearts, when we find ourselves in difficult situations and difficult circumstances, when temptation is all around us, we have an opportunity to declare the truth about God as told in the scriptures, so that we too might look at Satan and say, "Leave me alone. Get away from me. Get thee behind me." And so there's incredible power in the word of God. And so as you pray this prayer, as you pray to your heavenly Father, as you declare his kingdom above all else, as you seek to do his will, as you trust him for the things that you need provided for you, and as you forgive and as you receive forgiveness, I invite you also to beg God to lead you far away from temptation. And yet when you face it, that you can trust him to deliver you from the evil one. Let us pray. God, thank you for the gift of this prayer, for the gift of your son Jesus, and for him teaching us to pray. And so God, throughout this series, we have talked a lot about this template, this guide for prayer. I pray that most of all, you would enable us to not just memorize it in our heads, but that you would etch it into our hearts, and that it would become a guide for living. that it would become part of who we are, so that as we pray, we would find ourselves in line with your kingdom, trusting in you fully, and living out in such a way to honor you with our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you guys so much for watching and for worshiping along with us this morning. We're so glad that you did. Now that our series on the Lord's Prayer is over, we want to challenge you to maybe sit today with your family, if you're together with your family, and actually pray through the Lord's Prayer together. And take some time to stop after each line and maybe talk about what that means or what you've learned about it during this series, or maybe how you can pray that even more. If you're by yourself, you have opportunities to pray through the Lord's Prayer with people as well. There's so much virtual space right now. Maybe you get on a FaceTime call with someone. Maybe you send somebody an email with your thoughts, somebody that you're close to or a family member that's far away. Or if you want to join one of our community groups, so many of our community groups continued meeting last week in new ways. You can jump in and join some of those. If you need more information on that, you can shoot us a comment down below or send us an email, and we'll get you hooked up with a community group where you can. We'll get you hooked up with a community group. We'll be back again here next Sunday at 11 a.m., and we can't wait for you to worship with us again. It'll be Palm Sunday. The end. I almost made it to the end, right?
I get a slushy.